It out there. And I've taught it here, and others before me have taught it here, and I'm glad he's teaching it. He gives he teaches the same thing, but he gives a new perspective on it. And he always goes back and looks up the scriptures and goes through the whole gyration of it to let you know that it is the truth, what he preaches and teaches. So I'm just going to keep the continuity of it, and when he comes back, he can pick up right where he left off, and it won't be a big loss or anything. Now, during the course of teaching this, we got down to the last part of that, and it was talking about the New Jerusalem Kingdom City. It was talking about it. And when I was raised in the woods, old jawbone, rawbone preachers that were what you call landmarkers, they taught a very simple, straightforward truth that was based on the Word. It wasn't based on anything else. And they taught about the importance of the kingdom of God. They taught about that the purpose of the church was for the furtherance of the kingdom. Most people get saved, and after they get saved, they're looking for something they're looking for some kind of a thing that doesn't exist. What exists is real. And there really is a kingdom. Jesus really did bring it with him. And Jesus really was rejected. And Jesus is coming back again. And I believe that to be very soon. And this time, he's not going to be rejected. He's going to establish his kingdom. I think what's happening down there in New Orleans and all these other places, I told you all when I first came up here about 40 years ago, 43 years ago, I said, what's going to happen in the last days? You're going to have, you'll be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder, with lightning, with flood. And I mentioned all the phenomena. Well, it's here. Now, this flood will go away. Everything will be just fine for a while. But all these phenomena are getting closer and closer and closer together. I didn't tell you this because I'm a meteorologist or a geologist. I told you this because the Word of God said it was going to happen. And I live by that. And not by the knowledge I have of any scientific awareness. And so it's time to really start to get serious about serving God. Many will not live in the New Jerusalem Kingdom City because they did not prepare for his second visitation due to lack of interest in it. First time he came, they rejected him. They lost interest in the Messiah. And the Old Testament scriptures taught that the Messiah was God. It's in Isaiah. But when Jesus claimed to be God, that's when they would pick up stones to stone him to death. Nobody could be God except God. Well, he's coming again, and the whole earth is going to find out just who God is. He says, Luke 19, 11 through 44. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable. New Testament's full of parables. The Old Testament has a lot of parables. They're teachings. They're teachings of the things that are future, are to come most of the time. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable to him, and it tells you why he did it. Because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. They thought that all of a sudden, he was going to proclaim himself to be the Messiah, and he would bring in the kingdom as the Messiah. Not as God, but as the Messiah. That would have been all right with him if he'd just gone over and said, you know, I'll be your friends to the Pharisees and scribes, and it would have worked out just fine. But he was God, he is God, and always shall be God. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, the scribes and the Pharisees had things so messed up that it was almost impossible to to figure out what the Messiah would be like, and quite frankly, they didn't really care. He said, therefore, because they thought the kingdom of God would immediately appear, he said, therefore. That's an inspired conclusion. He said, since that's true, and they think that I'm immediately going to appear and bring in the kingdom, he knew he wasn't. He knew they'd reject him. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. That was Jesus Christ. He was God. And he returned, he ascended after he was crucified, and he received for himself a kingdom, and he has promised to return again. Now, they actually goofed up because they missed the whole purpose of his coming. They didn't worship him correctly. They changed everything under the sun. And the same thing has happened to this generation. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds. He's teaching here something that if you're saved, if you know Christ as your Savior, and you're going to go ahead and follow him in scriptural baptism and try to be faithful in his local church, this is something you need to know. When I came back after I had finished my career, I was amazed that I didn't hear anybody preaching much about the kingdom anymore. I heard them preaching about increasing church attendance, about win the lost at any cost, and all sorts of fantastic things. And I was just taught when I was raised that you learned how to worship God after you got saved. That's the purpose of it. You say, well, why? Because if you learn what God wants from you and God is allowed to change you, man, you'd be just amazed what God can do. You say, well, I want to do it. He does it in you. Let him. That's what it's supposed to be like. But this generation has changed that so much, it's absolutely pathetic. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds. Each one got 1 pound. And said unto them, occupy till I come. Now the word occupy means to end your everyday trading. Ken's a CPA, among other notorious things. And when somebody comes down to his place, and they're down there, and there Ken gets to talking to them about the Lord and the different things that are coming, and he just does that. You say, well, it's just natural. Yeah, it is. He's not an evangelist. He's a preacher. But I'm a preacher, and the same thing happens to me. You know, I don't have to go out and look at every trail and go to every door and open the door up and say, do you know where you're going to spend eternity, brother? No, I don't have to do that. Because God works this thing out. And I'm supposed to let him change me. And this is what he's talking about when he tells you, this is how I want you to occupy until I come. Well, what coming? This is talking about his soon coming. And it's time. I'll be very much surprised if this next two administrations finish, the one that's going to be elected in November and the one that's going to be elected after that. I'll be shocked if Israel doesn't attack Syria in the last stages of this next administration. Now, he said, occupy till I come. But his citizens. Well, who are his citizens? The ones he came to. He came to the scribes. He came to the Pharisees. He came to Israel. Well, what did they do? They hated him. How much did they hate him? They crucified him. And sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Well, that's what you call the rejection of God. That's called the rejection of their king. That's called the rejection of their kingdom. And they sent a message after him from the cross. They said, if he can do this, come down from the cross and we'll believe you. They wouldn't have. He knew that. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, now when he comes back, the kingdom's coming with him. And we will have been judged in heaven, because we will have been raptured and we will have been judged, and he will have received the kingdom. Then he commanded those servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first. He got 1 pound. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. That's a very simple statement. His pound that he gave him, I would have to say, from what this parable indicates, his was more productive because he followed the teachings of the Lord. He followed the teachings of the Lord. The Lord said, for the kingdom is come, and he said, and now he is, when he was talking to in John, and indicated that the kingdom was there, and the citizens of his, scribes and Pharisees, they rejected it. Well, this man, he didn't reject it. He accepted it. He believed it. How long did he serve God? Don't know. But I do know that he said, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thy authority over 10 cities. You say, well, I'm not interested in having rulership over 10 cities. You ought to be, because that's where you're going to be forever. If you know Christ as your Savior, you're going to be in heaven. And if you're given a position in heaven of authority and responsibility, that's going to be your joy. That's going to be your happiness. Because it will be Christ that gives it to you. And you won't have to sit around and worry about, you know, I hope I get more, 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 more. Just do what he said. He said, occupy till I come. What are you doing right now? You're occupying till he comes. What am I doing right now? Occupying till he comes. So what's he going to give me? I'm not going to sit around and worry about what he's going to give me. I'm just going to try and do what he wants me to do. Occupy till he comes. That's exactly what I'm doing. You need to be in a church that occupies till he comes. And it doesn't quit. And it doesn't have a shift in membership every other time. And half the church runs off half the time. And you end up with nothing. And then you have to start all over again. That's not the kind of church the Lord had in the New Testament. But we've made it into that kind of a church because we don't preach a lot about the kingdom and the things that are coming. It wouldn't be important if Jesus hadn't put this in there. But Jesus did. So what am I urging you to do? I'm urging you to do what this says. And he said, well done, thy good and servant, faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful. Have authority over 10 cities. And the second came and said, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. Well, what did the Lord give him? How long did he serve? Well, and he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. Okay. Which one would you rather be? Well, the answer is obvious. The answer is that I got a pound. I got it from the Lord. It belongs to the Lord. Doesn't belong to me. So who am I going to let use it? Jesus in me. How am I going to do that? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What am I doing right now? I'm preaching to you the word of God, and Christ Jesus is inside me. And in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and he does in you also. So how much of your heart and life are you going to yield to him? I mean, why are you going to do this? You say, well, what counts? Motivation. Are you doing this because you say, I want to be a ruler in heaven? Are you doing this because this man died on the cross for you and took your sins in his own body on the tree and was forsaken of the Father, but never will forsake you? He's worth dying for, more than worth dying for. And so here we have something that encourages you. Serve the Lord. How much? As much as he bothers you. I can promise you something. He won't ever quit bothering you because he loves you. And he tells you very plainly that the only reason you love him is because he first loved you. That's the truth. So here comes another man. You say, oh, this next man went to hell. I don't think so. He said, be thou ruler over five cities. And another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept up in a napkin. Laid up in a napkin. Well, you couldn't see it. He didn't manifest Christ. Oh, he did sometimes. Maybe when he first started serving God, but pretty soon he got discouraged. Maybe he stayed a little bit longer, but he didn't finish. God is looking for people to finish the race. Paul said he had finished his course. He'd finished the race. That's what God's looking for. Once you get saved, God's looking for somebody that'll keep on trying, keep on following, keep on confessing sins, and keep on serving. Now notice what the man said. Now don't get the idea that this is true about God. This is that man's opinion. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Well, he had every reason to fear God. For thou takest up that which thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. Now that came out of the lips of that man. Don't say that God's that way. But God knew it wasn't right. So he took the very thing that man said and played it against him. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man. He said, you knew I was an austere man. You said so. Taking up what I have laid not down. This is what the man said. And reaping what I did not sow. Now, when you take things like this and you look at them, this man is making an excuse before God. There will be no excuse before God. I was saved when I was 12, scripturally baptized when I was 23, and God called me to preach when I was 38 years old. Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what I'm doing right now. That's what I was called to do. I'm manifesting in me the fullness of God in the person of Christ Jesus, in whom all the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells. Wherefore, that's a conclusion, wherefore thou givest not thy money into the bank. Now back then they had a table that would be set up, and you could take your over to the money changer, and he would put it down, and you could gather interest on it. You say, well, I don't quite understand that. It was out in the open where you could see it. He put it was in the open. And he put his money in there. He could have done that. And it would have drawn interest. You say, well, he didn't do that. I know he didn't. So what did he do? He hid it. He hid it. When you were a young Christian, did you ever go to a restaurant somewhere and you didn't want anybody to see you praying in there or anything? You ever get a little queasy about it and say, you know, did you ever try to kind of not show you were a Christian, but just kind of, you know, kind of play it soft? I did when I was young. and in church. And this man just didn't manifest what you're supposed to see. I'm looking right now, and I know just about every one of you. And I love you. You're manifesting him. You're here. You're listening. You're determining whether or not this is true, whether this is a correct interpretation. I believe that it is. But these parables teach one single principle, usually. And that principle is this: use whatever God gave you and tell others using what he gave you. He said, wherefore thou gavest not thy money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury, with interest. In other words, they could at least have seen that you believed and you invested in it. And he gave unto them that, but he hid it. And he gave unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. Now they put this next thing in there in parentheses for a reason. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. You say, do you mean that man that hid it lost it? What was it that the man failed to do? He failed to manifest it. He had the ability to manifest it. He had the ability to manifest what he believed. He had the talent. He had the pound. He could have used it. For I say unto you that everyone which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away from. Let me tell you what I believe that means. And I have to answer at the judgment seat of Christ, and I'm well aware of that. That means that this man is going to end up in heaven. He's going to live outside the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem. He's going to live out on the new earth. He's not going to be given anything to do. You say, well, that sounds like an all paid vacation. Well, how'd you like to be in heaven? And there the one is who died for you on the cross. And you just hid it from the whole world. And there you are out there. And he takes away from you what he had gave you. Not your salvation. But he takes away from you the ability to work for him. You say, well, I sure do like that. Well, you won't when you get to heaven. You'll like it. And you won't like it at the judgment seat. Later on, everything, you'll be surprised. It won't be hard to understand. And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. Go ye therefore into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. This is a very special occasion. It's a preview of what the soon coming of Jesus will be like. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners came thereof and said unto him, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of it. And they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even at the descent of the Mount of Olives. Now notice this. The Jews knew what this meant. This was the coming of the king. This was the coming of God himself to the earth. And when he was nigh, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. Why did Jesus come? To prove that he was God. You say, well, there are other reasons. I know. But he proved to God he was God. He performed absolute miracles before them. Impossibility. You can't turn water into wine, but God can. Look at all the things he did. Miracle after miracle after miracle. Feeding group after group after group with practically nothing. With a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. He comes as the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Man, that tore the disciples up. Now, not the disciples, but the Pharisees and scribes. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude and said unto him, Master, the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. You know, this is not right. They finally realized Jesus was claiming to be God. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. I believe that. I believe that would have happened. And when he has come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou at least in this day, in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace. But notice what he says. But now they are hid from thine eyes. They're still hid. Israel is blind as a bat spiritually. For the day shall come upon thee. Now this actually happened. That thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side. I can count every moment of that in the writings of Josephus. It happened just like that. And shall lay thee even with the ground. That actually happened. And thy children within thee. It happened. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. They didn't. The only stones left were the foundation stones. All the foundation, all the things above it, they were all torn down. Every one of them. I've been underneath that thing here while yonder. And everything this Bible says is true. He said, and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. Now notice why. Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Well, here we are again. It's time to realize that this visitation is not a far distant event. It's time to realize that after you receive Christ as your Savior, there's a yoke to put on. There's a king to follow. There's a Lord to serve. And there's a local church that he's supposed to be served in. And this is one of his local churches. We're not the only one. We don't claim to be the only one. But we try to do everything the Scripture says the way he says to do it. The Greek word translated occupy is pragmatomai. In the parable, appears only once in the Bible. It means to be busy or occupied, to do business, to trade, to traffic. And the connotation is to do it naturally every day in your normal walk of life as your service to God. You don't have to have church visitation. You don't have to go and knock on every door in town. That's not necessary. You say, well, what do I do? You come to church. You say, well, what happened? People, how am I going to witness? Don't worry, my friend. God will open more doors than you can handle. I promise you that. Because the more you know about the Lord, the more able you are to talk to people. And believe it or not, the Holy Spirit is everywhere. And he draws people to you. Trust in God. I played the other game. When I was young, and I first came back from overseas, I went around, knocked on people's doors and everything. And that wasn't the way I was raised. So finally I said, the way I was raised was right. And this other stuff is not right. And so here I am. If you learn about Christ, if you know about Jesus, I promise you, you'll have opportunity He'll give you plenty of opportunities to talk to people about him because you got something to say. Many church members are not ready for his second visit in that they do not occupy until his second visitation. Now, it's up to you. It's up to you what kind of a church you belong to. And it's up to you whether or not you believe that you're serving a church that teaches the Word of God. And this church does. So, Chuck, I've left you 15 minutes. Now, you promised me you wouldn't drown this one. So I'm counting on you, Chuck. But listen, anytime.